Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled and striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I'll stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I'll live. There in the ground his body laid, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since grip has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power in hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Thank you. Let's all stand together. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Jonah. Jonah this morning. Well, it's just a bit muffled up here, if you could help me with that. Jonah chapter 1. We'll read a few verses here. I realize we're a little bit later than normal, and we've had, over the course of the next few weeks, we'll have testimonies and so forth. And I know we're starting later, but we'll get out about the same time we always do. Okay? Someone told me that Lee Robertson never always preached for about 25 minutes. I'm not Lee Robertson, but I'm not going to go that long. So if I'm not Lee Robertson, I shouldn't have as much to say as he says, right? We'll be done in 15 minutes, okay? All right, we'll get you out of here the same time we always do. We're going to talk about Jonah this morning. How did I get here? How did I get here? Jonah should be able to answer that question. Jonah chapter 1, please, says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, every one to his fellow, come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause is this evil come upon us? What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? Of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea was wrought, and was tempestuous unto them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for loving us. We thank you for the time we've had already this morning. I pray, Lord, in the few minutes that we have, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, teach us something from Jonah's mistakes. I pray, Lord, that we would not get to the place that Jonah got to. And Lord, if there's those here that feel they're in that type of place, that they would see what happened and see how they can correct it. For in Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you could, this sounds seriously muffled up here, so if we could crank it a little bit, you may be seated. Of course, the story of Jonah is well criticized by people that do not believe the Bible. I heard a story. There was a lady on an airliner, and she was reading her Bible. The man sitting next to her gave a little chuckle and just said, You really don't believe all that stuff in the Bible, do you? And this lady says, Well, of course I believe everything that the Bible says. And the lady said, and the man said, Well, what about that guy that was swallowed by the whale? The lady said, Oh, Jonah, yes, I believe that is in the Bible, she replied. The man asked, Well, how do you suppose he survived all that time inside of the whale? The lady goes, Well, I don't know. When I get to heaven, I'll ask him. And he looked at him and said, Well, what if Jonah's not in heaven? She said, You ask him, okay? Jonah is a real story. We read the book of Jonah, we realize Jonah is one of those guys that's just like us. That's what I like about the Bible. There are no super Christians. Man, you read the Bible and it's like, really? Why did he do that? And then we look at our lives and say, Oh yeah, now I know why he did that. And Jonah's like that. Now just by way of introduction to Jonah, if you read the first and the last verse of every chapter, you get the whole story quickly. Chapter 1, verse 1 says, Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of the Mittai, saying. So God's speaking to him. Verse 17, Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Something happened in between there. Chapter 2 and verse 1, Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. You think? Verse 10, the last verse, And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah on the dry land. He got out of there. Verse chapter 3, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. He's going to get another chance. He goes to Nineveh. Verse 10. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he said he would do unto them. And he did it not. Man, God did a great work because Jonah obeyed. Chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. He wasn't happy about the fact that God spared all of them. And then the last verse of the book says, And it shall not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 people that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle? God had to explain to Jonah why he did what he did, because Jonah didn't want them to be spared. And then that's it. Jonah said, Lord, thou art right, I am wrong. Nothing. He just leaves us hanging. So when we get to heaven, we can ask him. If not, Brother Pineda can ask him. Now, we're going to look at the first chapter here. What happened to Jonah? It ends horribly, but it started with a great opportunity. What we want to do is look at Jonah's trip. How did he go from God's prophet to a fish's dinner? Which is basically what happened. Something went wrong. Sometimes we get to places in our life and we're like, how did I get here? How did this happen? What went wrong? And I'm sure as Jonah had 3 days in the fish's belly, he had some time to think about what had happened. But if we look here in Jonah, we find out some of the things that happened. By the way, someone has said that those who don't learn from their mistakes are destined to repeat them. Right? By the way, you know what the best thing to do is? Learn from someone else's mistake. Okay? And the Bible, that's what the principles of the Bible are all about. We see God throws them out there for us, not so we can say, what was Jonah thinking about? We can say, that could be me. Now, it may not be a fish, but it can be something else. How did he get there? Tragic situations are always the result of bad decisions. Always. And bad decisions are always the result of faulty thinking. Always. That's what happened to Jonah. So let me give you several things. What happened to Jonah? I want you to notice, first of all, that there was a direct command. A direct command. God came to Jonah and he said, arise, go to Nineveh. That was it. God said, I have something for you to do, and we're not going to decide, go to Nineveh. And we understand that Jonah didn't. The book of Jonah is about the will of God, if you really look at it, and how we respond to it. In other words, the will of God is, what does God want us to do? Now, sometimes the will of God is something God has to show us. In other words, who will I marry? What career path does God have for me? Where does God want me to go to church? What does God want me to serve? Those type of things. Those are God's will. But there's also the will of God that is in the Bible. That is a non-negotiable. Okay? What you do for a living, that could be different for everybody. But if there's something in the Bible that's a direct command, it's God's will for us. God tells us to do it. Jonah's attitude towards God's will stemmed from a feeling that the Lord asked him to do an impossible thing. God commanded the prophet to go to Israel's enemy and give the city of Nineveh opportunity to repent. By the way, Jonah did not want them to repent. History tells us that the Ninevites were very cruel people. When they would conquer another city, they would cut everybody's head off, and they would build a little pyramid outside the city with everybody's head just to let the other people know what was coming. And they didn't like Jews. And Jonah's like, I ain't going. Okay? He had no choice. God gave him a direct command. By the way, God knew what he was doing. Jonah goes there, and in chapter 3, the whole city turns to God. And by the way, he didn't preach a good message. He had a bad attitude. God said, go in there and tell them. So Jonah comes in. They didn't have any song services. They didn't take a special offering for the speaker. Jonah walks in and says, I got a message from God. 40 days, you're going to be destroyed. Let's pray. Jonah was on his way. That's all. He said, I did what I was supposed to do. And the whole city turned to God because of that message. Not because of that message, despite the message. Because that's what God had. We are like that. We think that God can give us direct commands and that they are optional. God's direct commands are not optional. We often think of what the Bible says as they don't have too many of them before, but, you know, you ever go to the cafeterias? They used to have one over at the Lakewood Mall, Clifton's. And it's not a buffet, but it's a cafeteria. And, Arnold's, right around the corner here, went out of business. How many of you remember that place? That's a good place. I miss those folks. But you go there, and it's like, you know, well, what do you want for your side order? And you kind of like, okay, I don't want peas. Give me the broccoli. I don't want that. Give me this. I don't want mashed potatoes. Give me that. And you kind of pick and choose what you like. If it's something you don't like, you don't take it. That's how we kind of think the Bible is. Well, Lord says this. Yeah, I'll take that. No, Lord, I don't want that. I'll bypass that one. We can't do that. Now, if you're a new Christian, you're newer here, and you say, man, there's a lot of stuff in that book. I get that. Just keep going the right direction. But you never want to get to the place where you hear something, you know it's God, you know it's from His Word, you know it's a truth, and you say, no. That's a dangerous place to be. And I'm not trying to scare you this morning. I'm trying to encourage you. Let's follow God's direct commands. God knows what is best for us. Let's not have the mentality that we can pick and choose. See, our mentality in our country is, I'm in charge of my life, I decide my way, I do what I want. And we have freedoms in this country for those things. But you know what? God has something great for you. And we need to be able to allow God, through His Word, to tell us, this is what's best for you. Because God understands what is best. But we live in a naturally rebellious kind of, well, first of all, we live in naturally rebellious flesh, and then we live in a country that kind of fosters that. We like rebellion. And I kind of get that. You know, by the way, if you want to be rebellious, be a Christian and be obedient, and you'll be rebellious to what the world's doing. Think of it that way. Say, man, I'm just one of these people that wants to be different. Seriously? You do? Don't dye your hair pink because everybody dyes their hair pink. I want to be different, so I'm going to do what everybody else does. If you really want to be different, follow God. You'll be different. But we have that rebellious in us. It's like the story of a little boy, and he kept standing up in class. The teacher kept telling him to sit down. He wanted to stand up, and finally, he realized he's going to get in big trouble, and he's like, fine, I'll sit down. And then he told his buddy, he goes, I'm standing up in my heart. Okay? That's how we are. We have that natural rebellion, and we don't like to be told what to do. But you realize when God tells us something, it's for our good. And so he had a direct command. It's good for it. By the way, when you have your children, we live in a society now when we think the best thing to do for our children is let them do what they want. You know, little Oswald has no idea what's going on. None. Ask that little, what do you want for dinner? You know what they want for dinner? Cereal. Say, how do you know they want cereal for dinner? That's what I want. But cereal's not best. We let our kids do whatever they want. When they're in your house and they're that age, they need to learn direct command. Okay? Well, why? Let me tell you why. I said, that's why. They're little, they don't need an explanation. They need obedience. Now as they get older, now they need an explanation, don't they? Okay? But don't we just, this whole, we just do whatever we want. It's good for us to have God's commands. Jonah didn't get that. Arise, go to Nineveh. Number two, we saw the direct command. Oh, by the way, let me say this. When we think of God's direct commands, think of it this way. 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God. People talk a lot about, oh, God's love. Okay, let's talk about God's love for a second. This is the love of God. Here we go. That we keep His commandments. I go somewhere where all we talk about is God's love. Okay, me too. Keep His commandments. Okay? Why? Now look at what He says. His commandments are not grievous. He says, man, they're good. We think of it as being a, you know, some slave and someone's beaten down on it. That's not what it is. God knows that within His commandments, that's where freedom comes from. That's where joy comes from. They're not grievous. All right, number two. There's a diverted path. First, there was a direct command. Now there's a diverted path. In other words, God said, go to Nineveh. Jonah says, no, I'm going to go somewhere else. And he gets off the path he's supposed to go to. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. Now, this, I think, is pretty funny. From the presence of the Lord. I don't know. Now, let me just throw this out there. You probably already get this. Theology 101. You cannot flee God's presence. He is everywhere. And you know what's funny? We know that. We know that, but yet we still don't think about it when we do our own thing. I remember when we were little, my children were little. I remember Allison. We played hide and go seek when she was like 2 or 3. And we lived in an apartment that time. It's like, all right, Allison, let's play hide and seek. So here's what she did. First, she would hide behind a curtain. You know, and then the curtain goes to here and there's legs, you know. It's like, where are you? You know, I don't see you. And then I'd find her. Then she tried this. She was tired. She just stood against the wall and she closed her eyes. And I'm like, okay, I'll play this game. Where are you? She's like, she's giggling. Like, come on, where are you? I can't find you. And then she'd, here I am. Wow. That was a great hiding spot. I wish my wife would try that and say, well, I don't find you. Just kidding. Sorry about that. But I hope she enjoys the ladies' conference, because I sure will. What were we talking about? God is love. Isn't that funny how we do that, though? We think just because we don't think about God when we're doing something we shouldn't, that God doesn't know or that he's not there. That's how we are. Jonah thought, I'm going to get on this ship, and I'm going to flee the presence of the Lord. You say, where did that all start from? Let me read a verse from Genesis 3. After Adam and Eve sinned, they're in the garden, verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Uh-oh, here comes God. You know, the one that made this earth we live on, the one that created us personally. Here he comes, let's hide. You imagine the folly of that. Listen, let's just be open and honest with God. By the way, God knows all about us. He knows that we're sinful. He knows we're frail. He knows our mistakes. And by the way, God loves us anyhow. And God just wants us to be open and honest with him. That's all. But we think we can hide from him. Now, I don't see. Maybe if Jonah would have got on his knees and said, Lord, I know you want me to go to Nineveh. I'm struggling with this. Can you help me, Lord? I just don't understand this. I know you want me to go. I want to be obedient, Lord, but I'm struggling with this. I've got a bad attitude about it. I think God may have been able to help him. But he said he didn't even have a prayer meeting. Okay? He was looking for a ticket out of there. He diverted path. Are we running from God today? Immature people run from problems. Immature people run from responsibility. By the way, you can run from your problem. You can run from your responsibility. But can I just tell you something? Your problem is still there. Your responsibility is still there. Why don't you just deal with it, get up there, and do what you're supposed to do? It's called being an adult. A diverted path. It's so hilarious how we run from God and things get worse, and then we say, God, where are you? Now, if I was God, that's the one time I would start speaking audibly. I'd say, brother, you're the one that ran, not me. But that's how we are. I want you to see number three, there's a disobedient spiral. There's a spiral. It says, and he went down to Joppa. Now, the word down is mentioned three times. Now, I know I'm using this as a principle. It's talking about a physical locale. But if you read through the book of Jonah, he went down and down. And things got worse and worse until he got right with God. It's a downward spiral. Once you start the process of ignoring God's direct commands, once you start the process of doing your own thing and trying to ditch God's presence, you are on the downward spiral. Just mark it down. Things are not going to get better. Things are going to get worse. That's why we mentioned don't run from your problems. Don't run from your responsibilities. Step up as a man or as a woman. Find out what God wants you to do and do it, and let's get the thing fixed. God wants things to work out. God's not against your marriage. God's not against your problems. God is for helping you get through those things. But if you disobey, things get worse and worse and worse. And that's where people come and say, I never thought this would happen. I never thought this would happen to my family. I never thought this would happen to me. I never thought this would be a part of my life. Because you're on the downward spiral. It's almost like Job. When things started happening bad to Job, the phrase in the Bible is, there came also another. One came and said, oh, dang, they took all your animals. And then there came another. And then there came another. It was just problem after problem. Now, Job's wasn't caused by his own disobedience. But when you're disobeying God, you almost feel like that sometimes. As soon as one problem, and then here's another, and we don't line up, that the fact is the root problem is the way we're living. We're trying to hide from God, and we're disobeying his direct commands, and we wonder what's going on. And here comes another, and here comes another, and here comes another, and here comes another. Be very careful. We mentioned last week that as we looked at discouragement and what happens, sometimes it's things we're doing. By the way, once you choose to disobey a direct command, it gets a lot easier to do it again. We talked last week about being very careful. In our society, there's a plague of immorality and adultery and all that nonsense. You know why? Because it's so easy to get in contact with people now. To sneak behind your spouse. Or you teenagers, you sneak around your parents. It's you know, you get that first little time and you maybe start to be a little flirtatious. You know it's wrong. Can I just tell you something? Next time it's easier. You feel bad about it that first time. But that next time, maybe you got on the internet and you saw something you shouldn't see and you felt horrible that first time. Can I just tell you something? Doesn't feel quite so bad the next time. But you know what you're doing? You're going down. That's why you safeguard and you stop it out up at the top. Because once you let that in, down you go. And then I want you to notice number four. There's a disillusioned circumstance. A disillusioned circumstance. What do I mean? And he found a ship going to Tarshish. And he had the right amount of money. In other words, Jonah's disobeying God and everything was working out. He runs from God, and there's a ship waiting for him to take him where he wants to go. And it just so happened, God provided the money for him to be able to buy the ticket to go there. It amazes me how people can talk themselves through disobedience. Well, this is of God, because if it wasn't of God, it wouldn't have worked out. Many times disobeying God does work out at the beginning. But you don't understand. It just seemed like everything just worked. That doesn't make it right. He fled to Joppa. He found just the right ship. He had just enough money. He was even able to go down to the bottom of the ship in the storm and just saw some Z's. He was out. The mariners, the men who worked on boats for a living. This is what they did for a living. They were used to storms. They were terrified. And here's Jonah, the prophet, disobedient, out of God's will, and he's at the bottom of the ship having a good time. He is out cold. Oh, you know, I prayed about this situation. Here, I hate this phrase. And if I shouldn't, pray for me. You know, I just prayed about it and I have peace. Really? Peace. I had a lady come years ago. She was in my Sunday school class. I'm out greeting people after church, and she comes up and says, you know, I prayed about this thing, and I have peace. God wants me to divorce my husband, and I already got another guy I'm going to marry. I've prayed about it. I'm like, you're a dipstick. I didn't say that because that would be wrong, but I thought it. I'm like, sister, you don't pray about something God's very specific about. But you don't understand. I just feel good about it. You won't feel good later. It doesn't matter if you feel good about it. If God tells us something, we need to follow that. How many of you know your emotions lie? Yeah, our emotions lie all the time. And so she thought, because everything... You know, it's like the guy heard the story. You know, he's like, he wanted to know God's will, so he said, I'm just going to open up my Bible, and I'm going to just put a finger on a verse, and that'll be God's will for the day. So he opens his Bible, and he puts his finger on the verse, and it says, and Judas went and hung himself. He thought, okay, that one didn't work. So he flipped a few pages, go and do thou likewise. So I don't like that one. He goes, let me try it one more time. What thou doest, do quickly. Okay. We're going to fit a square peg into a round hole. That's not going to work. Just because it seems all the outward things are working doesn't mean it's right if God has specifically spoke against it or God has specifically spoke about it. Go with what God says. You do understand we do have an enemy, right? What's his name? Satan, not your spouse. And you know, sometimes he can work circumstances out. Just stick with what God says, and we'll always be all right. Look at Solomon, the whole wife collection thing. I mean, he had one, and then two. Could you imagine? I figured this out. He had about 1,000, if you count the concubines. That's 3 anniversaries a day. What are you doing today? Well, let me check the calendar. I got an anniversary breakfast. I got an anniversary lunch. No wonder the guy didn't have time to run the kingdom. Oh, but I know God said don't multiply wives, but I'm okay. I'm the wisest man in Israel. I was also the richest, so I can handle it. How'd that work out for Solomon? See, most of us don't understand this. At the end of Solomon's life, he was a pagan worshiper who was against God. And it says one of the big reasons was the wives. Oh, but it just worked out, you know. Oh, I see this, just she loved me. Oh, stop. What's the conclusion of the whole matter? And then number 5, the last thing is, there's a discovered payment. Jonah, and we're this is symbolic here, he paid the fare thereof. He paid to get on the boat. Now, if you read the rest of the story, he paid. He paid. He paid. See, whenever we choose to do our own thing instead of God's, there's always a payment to pay. Always. There always is. And Satan is so good at getting us to buy into the things that really are not best for us. We have our excuses for why we can't obey God. God, I can't obey you because those guys are pretty rough over there. And after all, everything seems to be working out for me to do something different. And it seems like I'm, but it doesn't work out. And then what happens? We end up in the belly of the fish. That's where the payoff always is. Now, on the front end, it always seems like everything's good. But when you get to that bottom end, it never really is. It reminds me of those verses in Proverbs talking about adultery and immorality. It says, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Oh, she looked good when she met the young man in the street. She had everything all decked out. She had the candles burning. She had the silk and the lace and all the good stuff. And everything seemed right. And oh, it was great. And God says, this young man doesn't understand. You know where it ends up? It ends up in a bad place. What am I saying today? Look, none of us are perfect. But we need to listen to what God tells us to do. Scripture's wonderful because it tells us how to get to the place God wants us to be. And if we get to the place where God wants us to be, things will be all right. Oh, does that mean we don't have struggles of life? Everybody has struggles. But because we're where God wants us to be, we'll get through it. It'll make us better Christians. But when we disobey God and we do our own thing and we get to a place where things aren't better, maybe you say, man, I feel like I'm getting to a place, and how did I get here? How did things in my life start to spiral out of control? Was there a direct command? Did you feel like you can kind of get away from God and do your own thing? The Lord is so good, though. In chapter 2, Jonah prays out of, you know, now he's going to have a prayer meeting. Hey, God, let's pray about your will. Yeah, I know. It's easy to have a prayer meeting in the belly. He should have had one on the pier, okay? He has a prayer meeting, and God says, second chance is coming. He spits him out. And chapter 3 says, now, let's get back on track. Go back to Nineveh. It's like right there waiting for him. And you know what? Jonah was motivated. It was a 3-day journey. He got there in about a day. He took the fast track. Why? Learned his lesson. By the way, you say, I feel like things aren't going well. Hey, that's not fatal. That's not fatal. It's God's way of saying, let's get on track now. That's all. Don't get down. Oh, I just feel like I've come so far. I just can't get back to where I'm supposed to be. That's Satan. That's not God. You can get back to where God wants you to be. You just got to turn. Let's pray.